We can have some fun with this. We'd love to take some calls. Dibs and I earlier today were kind of getting into this whole like Super Bowl or bust thing that we all did last year. He and I don't see it the same with regard to whether or not it actually was a bust, because nobody really got fired. There were some players who got let go. They all stunk, but or didn't play. But anyway, be that as it may, I wonder how y'all would, how would you complete that sentence this year? Super Bowl or blank? How would you complete that sentence this year?
Try again.
Well, that's mine. You can't have it.
Well, I'm taking it because it actually fits this year. It didn't fit last year when they actually did bust it up. So it's really Super Bowl or try again, because you got all these young pups and, you know, Robert Saleh may or may not be here next year. If you have a mediocre year, maybe he's forced to stay. If you have a great year, he probably gets a head coaching job. But
That feels a little quick, but
depends,
who knows?
Depends maybe, on, you know, maybe how his time is here. If the defense immediately goes back to being top five with this young group, he might be another hot candidate. But I don't think it's Super Bowl or bust this year by any stretch. You just decided to pay your quarterback for the better part of the rest of this decade. And, you know, you've got a lot of your guys on this team who will be back next year.
Let's go to the phones. Jeff and Marin. Hey, Jeff, thanks for calling Willard and Dibs. What's up?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. So I've got two words that come to mind: durability and availability, the two most important abilities. And right now, you know, I love the way Coach Shanahan was talking about trying to build up football season calluses on the players. We got more than calluses on these guys. Right now, it seems like we ought to be switching the logo to a red cross, and instead of, what is it, Sourdough Sam, have an ambulance. I'm concerned, obviously, about that. I agree with Kawakami. The offensive line is a big question mark, and like he said, God forbid something happens with Trent Taylor and you put Burford in a left tackle, we're in serious trouble. So that's what I guess I'm most concerned about. I kind of looked ahead. It looks like next year is a big draft year for tackles. We sure as heck better start looking for number one pick offensive tackle, because the offensive line, I think, is kind of mediocre.
I guess, Jeff, I can share your thought to a degree with regard to question marks, but let me ask you this just for fun. Give me the team, and this is going to be unfair because who knows all the offensive lines around the league. Who's got a good backup left tackle? Who in the league has that?
You know, I really don't. I don't. I'm maybe Philadelphia. I don't know, because I really only follow the Niners. But I was trying to figure out, you know, with other teams around the league through preseason, was anybody getting as banged up as our players were?
Well,
I mean, we went through wide receivers and running backs, and, you know, Pooney gets hurt. It's nuts. I mean, we're like, it feels like we're snake bit when it comes to injuries.
Yeah, and Jeff, my sense is that while you're not wrong, and thanks so much, Jeff, while you're not wrong, I tend to think that's usually the feeling of every fan base. Like, a wide receiver room getting banged up. Go look at what Green Bay has done this August. Go look at their wide receiver room. Like, they've got this kid, a rookie, by the name of Matthew Golden. And apparently they really like him. Jaden Reed, nowhere to be found in the preseason. Mm. Totally hurt. Dontavian Wicks, totally hurt. Nowhere to be found. Romeo Dobbs just showed up last week, was a part of trade rumors. Like, this is going on around the league. Yes, it is going on around the league. And while it is a very fair concern, I'm not really sure how you wiggle out of this. You can name 4, 5, 6 players on every team, and if they get hurt, you're in real trouble. You're in real trouble. Nobody's got a great option if their left tackle goes down.
Right, and I was just looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers for the Eagles, and they had two tackles who were in the top 7 in football, and then their backup was 74th out of 81. So to your point about, you know, what team and their backup tackle or their swing tackle, you don't really have one. You don't have that kind of depth in many positions. Like, wide receiver, sure, you're going to have 4 or 5, but if you lose your top guy, how's your depth? And if the Niners lose McCaffrey, well, Brian Robinson Jr., okay, you're an actual running back who can do some things. That's a nice backup, but you go across the team. If Fred Warner goes out, who's going to replace Fred? You're not going to be able to replace him with a guy his caliber.
Nope. Who's replacing George Kittle?
Right. Who's replacing Trent Williams, you know? And those positions are obviously the most important. Even Nick Bosa. If you don't have Bosa, all of a sudden now that hurts your linebacking core, hurts your secondary, hurts everything.
Yeah, you might be able to do it for a week, maybe two. But no, like, I you can be concerned about those things. They're completely fair. I guess I just sometimes I hear people sort of talk as if NFL teams are supposed to have a plan for when their best players go down. They're supposed to be able to keep things going right at the same level. Did y'all watch the Lions play football last year? Lions are a really good team. Somebody told me they had a 24-7 lead in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they went out there and lost two football games all year long and went into the playoffs. And then what happened? They got their butts raced in their own building.
Well, every one of their defensive players was hurt.
They were all hurt.
All hurt.
Aiden Hutchinson is not replaceable.
Right.
And he got hurt, and their defense stunk. And their offense was good enough to sometimes go out there and outscore people. They came here and did it. I don't remember what the final score of that game was. 40-something to 30-something. Yeah. Like, Niners were moving the ball up and down the field on that defense. So that it's just, it's true for every team. And yeah, like, you have to hope that you can circle six or seven guys and have them largely play the majority of the season, or you're probably going to get beat.
And if you lose one of them, you can survive it,
maybe,
but it depends on who. And just looking at the Pro Football Focus rankings by position to give you some context exactly what you're saying, Nick Bosa is fourth out of 119 among edge rushers. Fred Warner is second out of 84 linebackers. George Kittle, number one out of tight ends, according to PFF. Trent Williams is seventh. Dominic Pooney is sixth. Kyle Juszczyk is second of nine, so I'll leave him out of it. But you get a sense of, you know, the most important guys relative to their position. Brock Purdy, by the way, according to PFF, 10th out of 42 last year at quarterback. So everyone crying about a bad year, a down year.
10th.
Sure, relative to the year before, but yeah, 10th in PFF across their metrics, which is just a metric, but those names are obviously the names you would have said are not replaceable.
No doubt.
Like you said, George Kittle, okay, who's going to play tight end? Well, you have tight ends, but you don't have that.
No, not at all. I'm actually kind of excited, and boy, I hope I'm not jinxing anything, right? They still have a week of practice. But have you noticed something in the NFL this August? Got a lot of holdouts. Got some teams that are banged up, quote-unquote, dealing with injury. Do you know what didn't happen this month of August that often happens? Dude, that big name went down. It didn't happen.
Yeah, true.
It did not happen. We made it through the preseason. There is usually one or two players who are like real names, like big deals. And it could be, you know, whatever. A quarterback, could be a top wide receiver. Obviously, for example, the birth of Dak Prescott was this happening to Tony Romo in the preseason. It happens almost every year that one or two big-time names go down. We have not seen it. We've not seen it. The league's got to feel great, man. They're starting the year a week from tonight. And largely, especially with Micah Parsons now set to play for the Packers, not the Cowboys. But, like, dude, the big names are all ready to roll.
So far, and, you know, you still do have a week of practice, so you don't want to jinx it and get too far ahead of yourself. But I do think that that is now the nature of how teams approach the preseason anyway. A lot of these guys just aren't playing. Brock Purdy played one series. Trent didn't play. Kittle didn't play. McCaffrey didn't play at all, unless I'm mistaken. So
Kittle played.
He played.
He played. A little bit.
That second game?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. But yeah, very, very sparingly.
Yeah, because I guess by the time I saw him in that game, he was already back in his streets. So that's just the way teams are going to approach it now, and it helps to prevent what you're talking about.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about what your worries might be for this year. Is Juwan Jennings in that situation one of them? I did find this all a little eye-opening. Tim still sounds rather, when I say Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, who joined us earlier, still sounded relatively confident to my ears that, like, Something will get figured out. Now he said over the next 4 days. What is it? Probably not what Juwan wants. But again, to my eyes and ears, it needs to just simply now be something that allows him to not be embarrassed. Like, you don't need to tell everybody you were asking for $20 million a year. Come back and be like, yep, just wanted some guarantees, a little restructure there. Got a couple more bucks on the deal for this year as a thank you for the great job that I did last year. Sure, you want to pitch that to the public, but that's probably all that's on the table. But that's more than I thought was on the table. I thought the Niners, like their sound yesterday, he's right. He said they sounded ticked. I think they're very frustrated. And the sound that they wanted to get out there was, we're not talking about anything. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
We're not trading you. We're not paying you. We're playing football. And if you'd like to play football, we got a helmet for you.
Yeah, and you got your number and shoulder pads and the whole thing. We'd love for you to play football. And I don't even know if the 49ers are interested in what you're describing, which is, hey, here's a couple million to avoid embarrassment, because, you know, they, I'm sure, are fed up with all of this that's happened all the time. Every offseason, you've got somebody there with their hand out looking for, and I know you say that that's,
it's,
you know,
everywhere.
It is, but you don't have to always give in, and you didn't give in to Charvarius Ward last year, so you don't have to give in just so he can avoid embarrassment.
No, no,
he's the one who basically started this.
No doubt, but at the same time, they would like him on the field. They would like him to play football against the Seahawks, and they do have a need at receiver. That's obvious. They're signing one every day right now.
Pretty much, right?
Right? Like, who's it going to be tomorrow? Russell Gage, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now we want Kendrick Bourne, too. Like, you're bringing all these dudes in. You're either doing that to leverage the situation or because you need to be ready for a game next week with people who have actually had a training camp. Let's listen to a little bit of Tim Kawakami, SF Standards. You had asked him about kind of like, what is Juwan asking for? This is where Tim took that conversation.
What you hear, not from the camp, but from NFL circles, is that it's high. You know, it's above 20 is what I've heard, and maybe a lot above 20 a year, to put him in the top 20 or so of receivers in that realm. 49ers have done it before with Brandon Ayuk. So, like, there is precedent for lifting a guy way up on the higher ranks of the receiver salaries. What I've heard from the 49ers side in the air on that one is that they don't want to do anything. Like, they are negotiating. I think there have been numbers exchanged, but they just redid his deal last year. And that's before he got 977 yards receiving. That's before he was the, you know, first receiver, basically, last year when Ayuk got hurt. That's before a lot of other things happened. But, you know, their chance is, we keep doing you every year, we're going to come back and do it again, and then we're going to tell Colton McKivitz, we're going to tell Trent Williams, we're going to tell, you know, Brock Purdy Institute, you know, whatever. So you understand that precedent that they don't want to break.
Well, I've said this to you for 2 weeks now. I can't really render too much of an opinion until I know what's being asked for. If Juwan Jennings wants some sort of a long-term deal for $20 million a year, he's out of his mind.
Well, I mean, he's allowed to ask for it,
yeah,
like you always say.
But I mean, to therefore be like, that's the line in the sand and I'm not budging off of it, that's crazy. That's crazy. That's way too much.
Of course. And I feel similarly about Kuminga, who reportedly wanted the max after his third year where he was eligible for that rookie extension. He wanted the rookie max, which is what Mobley and Cade Cunningham got and Franz Wagner. And, you know, I don't know if he formerly wanted that, but it's been made pretty clear that that's what he wanted, and the team probably didn't laugh out loud right in front of him, but it was a pretty firm no, and here Jonathan is a year later, stuck with 7.9 and figuring out what he wants to do. So if Juwan really was looking for top 20 money and $20 million average annual over a long term, you got to know going in that that's going to be a no from the Niners after they just shipped out Debo in his big contract.
Right, so that's kind of where the conversation went next with regard to Juwan's here, the Niners are there. How close is that, and can they figure something out?
If you ask me what the dollars are, I would tell you, just from my opinion, is that it's not close. It's not even close. Now, at some point, you got to either make a deal or not, and the 49ers want him on the field on week one, and Juwan Jennings probably doesn't want to go on injury reserve or get deactivated or whatever could happen in the next few days if he's not practicing. But in my everything I've heard is like it's like he wants a lot, and the 49ers are offering very little, I'll put it that way, if I could generalize it like that. And I think we can all kind of write in what the money terms are based on that, but it's far apart. I've been hearing this. I've been writing this for several weeks now, right? It's not close, and it's pretty clear it's not close still.
Okay, so what's your end game?
Right.
What's your end game, Juwan? And deadline spur action, I thought the roster being announced and the fact that, you know, the preseason is over might kind of feel like a deadline. Apparently not. The Niners did at least put him on the roster, therefore allowing for some more time. And we've watched players all have the deadline of week one is here, has spurred action the past two off seasons. Nick Bosa 2 years ago, Brandon Ayuk last year. But this one's different. This is not a rookie coming off of a rookie deal. This is not someone who's talking about anything at the top of the market. I don't know if next week is going to spur some sort of action, but boy, as a non-expert, I would sure suggest to Juwan that it should. I don't know where this goes in any sort of a way to help him if he's not practicing next week.
Yeah, and Tim actually said Monday would be a deadline where if they trade him before Monday, then the cap hit that they would take isn't there. If they trade him after September 1st, there's a roster bonus that even if they traded him after that, they would have to absorb as a cap hit. So some of the contractual financial stuff is part of this, but I think it comes down to what you just said before you led into that last little outburst, which is, what's your end game? And if you're Juwan and $20 million a year is off the table and you don't want to play for whatever his contract is, and we don't have the contract in front of us, so we can only ballpark exactly how much it is, are there incentives, are there not, etc. But if Juwan doesn't want to play for the contract that he's already signed and the Niners don't want to pay him $20 million, what's your end game? Because that's where we kind of are, you know? Either he plays and gets paid, or he doesn't, and he doesn't.
Yeah, and then Tim debunked this, like, and we've learned this how many times in our lives, but remember, this was the money quote yesterday from John Lynch with regard to Juwan Jennings and a trade.
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on, and we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
Yeah, we're not doing that. And Tim was like, well...
Well,
we'll see.
And he's right. I mean, you're not doing it until you actually do it. And I'm thinking about Jordan Poole, where they signed Jordan Poole, the Warriors did, and it's like, you know, we're happy to have the player and all that. And then after a year goes by, oh, yeah, we're going to trade Jordan Poole.
Well,
and
you know, this stuff changes all the time, right?
It does.
Nick Saban, I'm not going to Miami.
Sure.
Yeah, you are.
And if Tim is right about the ballpark, and he's like, yeah, a fifth round. If there's a fifth round pick, if that is what's being offered for Juwan and you're the Niners, you're not taking a fifth for Juwan. You'd rather hope that it works out and then have him play a year, and then he can leave as a free agent.
I mean, a fifth
is not nothing.
Yeah, if he's not going to play, I'll take a fifth. Niners do pretty good work in the fifth.
They do. That's for sure. But I don't know, a fifth versus hoping that, you know, you can nudge him into where he actually shows up and plays. I think with your wide receiver room, you'd be still more hopeful that he sticks around because you know, you can never have too much depth at wide receiver. And I think about the Giants rotation where they found themselves in a little bit of a spot when you traded Hicks and Harrison and then Roop got hurt and then Birdsong couldn't throw strikes and, you know, Wisenhunt got brought up and you had Kaiway Tang and all of a sudden all this depth you had, you didn't have anymore. What's wrong with you? You're making a face.
The Giants.
It's bye, bye, baby. They're hot.
Oh, my.
You want me to tell you about the math?
Oh, my. No, I don't want to hear about the math. I don't want to hear about the math. You know, because again,
five in a row now?
No, but they got to get over 500 before you're allowed to talk to me about
They're
it.
They're two below.
Yeah. Not going to. But really,
got some pansies coming up.
That's a bad thing. They lose to those teams.
Yeah,
you do all of this crap, and then you go win five in a row against the Brewers and the Cubs. Really?
Did I mention that they're hot?
Oh my God,
hot!
So annoying.
Yeah.
So annoying.
If you had
What an annoying baseball team.
If you had the over on their season win total, which I believe was 81 and a half.
You're in it still. You're
still in it.
You're still.
You wouldn't have ripped up that ticket, but you were starting to.
No winner last night in the Powerball.
I know.
I played.
Oh, how?
Because I got home in time to find money? I got, instead of stopping at the liquor store on the walk back to the car, I stopped at the bank, and I got some cash. And then, yeah, on the drive home, I had to actually make two stops. I went to a gas station, and they're like, our machine's not working.
Oh,
man. I'm like, I got like 8 minutes.
Yep.
So I flew down the street to a little convenience store, and we got that sucker in there just in time to not win anything.
Yeah.
But nobody won it. So now it's at least at $950 million, and I would go, by tomorrow night, it's probably going to be a billion. It's probably going to be $1 billion by
tomorrow night.
We're
at 950 right now.
Yeah, 950, but it goes up.
Saturday's the drawing.
Oh, is it Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it'll go up. Yep. It'll probably be a billion by Saturday.
I believe the record is 2.1 was the record
billion?
Jackpot. Yeah, with a B.
You win that thing, are you coming on Monday?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you're not. Monday's a holiday.
That's a good point. Yeah. You got me there.
You coming to the summit if you win?
Absolutely.
All right. Are you coming the week after that?
You know, I probably would still come. Sure. I enjoy my job.
I do, too.
This is super fun.
I do, too.
I actually thought about this.
I would see, but life has changed a little bit. There's a lot going on at home and whatnot, because I've always said, I love this job.
Agreed.
What am I going to do all day? I'm only 50 years old. I'm not going to, like, go sit on an island and stare at a pool. Oh, like, well, what am I going to do all day?
Yeah.
I'd probably set an end date, put it that way.
It
wouldn't be immediate, but I would set an end date.
I would figure out a way to lower my salary from the $2 I make a year to just $1 on the agreement that I could just do it from home most of the time.
Oh.
Let's do it from home.
Okay.
You know?
Eh.
Yeah, you wouldn't like that.
I don't want to talk to a screen all day.
Just four days a week. I come in on Wednesdays.
I'm out. I'll just come over to your house. We'll do it there.
Yeah. The other thing I could do is just buy the station and fire everybody who's bothered me. I thought about
that's
that.
That's everybody.
Well,
who
there
hasn't
you go.
Bothered you?
You know, oh man,
exactly.
Spadoni used
that's
to bug the crap
question.
Out of me. Spadoni used to get to me. Butch, I mean, Stein, Goop.
Yeah.
Even Mark Grandy.
Yeah.
You know, Evan hasn't bugged me, but sometimes his takes, it's like, sometimes his takes bug me. I don't know if that counts. Yeah, the building would be empty, Mark.
Yep, exactly.
We'd have to go to automated radio.
No, I would, you know what I would do? I would take my salary and just spread it out amongst everybody here.
You would not.
Yeah, let me
no,
see.
You won't. No, you won't.
Then maybe I could be employee of the quarter like a week. Mm-hmm. What about that?
Buy your way to an award.
Tim Kawakami, would the Niners actually trade Juwan, even though John Lynch said, we're not doing that?
It's just not where teams are calling them up and saying, oh, my God, we gotta get this guy from you. That's like they were for Ayuk, frankly. The teams were calling for Ayuk. It wasn't, you know, knock you down over with a first-round pick and what else can we throw you. But it was some teams were willing to give up a second-round pick or so. Same thing with Debo a couple of years ago. That's just not Juwan's market. It's this weird kind of thing where he's valuable to what the 49ers do in some, you know, in some level. We know what it is. But he's not that valuable to other teams. He's just not. And Debo was sort of similar, right? Even when he was racking up all those run yards and receiving yards, but he was getting banged up. And what's he really worth to another team? You know, if they could have got a first-round pick for Debo a couple of years ago, I think they would have done it. And nobody was offering that. So it just becomes this. He's certainly, certainly valuable to the 49ers and was valuable last year. But, of course, he was wide receiver one on a 6-11 team last year. You know, it's not his fault, but it's not like that's the guy who's going to go win the game, certainly. So it's just weird conjunction of two sides that don't have a ton of leverage and just makes this situation where nothing moves.
Yeah, I'm not worried. I think what happens right now is we look at the wide receiver room and we have this image in our head of a football game in Seattle where Brock Purdy takes the ball from the center and drops back, little five-step drop, and looks around, and there's nobody out there. Like, there's just blue jerseys. There's no, like, All the Niners, I'm sorry, we didn't bring wide receivers to this game.
You were describing the room, and I am imagining the room, and you got Ricky Pearsall in a folding chair alone.
Alone.
In the wide receiver room.
But I really like Ricky Pearsall, and George Kittle is running around out there, too, and Christian McCaffrey is running around out there, too. And if the next people on the list happen to be Russell Gage or Kendrick Bourne or Marquez Valdez-Scantling, people who have stayed in the league for a really long time, professional receivers who are not dumb and they're able to catch a football. Not sure about Sky Moore, but you get my point.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I'm not worried about this. I don't want to say this because I love that the Niners can win without him. If this has to be this way, the Niners can win football games in a short stint without Juwan Jennings, and maybe even a long stint. I don't know. Like, yes, these guys all contribute. Juwan contributes. He's really good. I love what he does in the run. I love what he does in the pass. Like, he's a very good football player. But you have to be able to win without some of your good players throughout an NFL season, and That's how I would sort of phrase this. This is not a linchpin.
No, it's not a deal breaker. Thank you. It's not a deal breaker for them being a playoff team. And if it's announced that Juwan Jennings is not playing this year, he comes out and he says, "That's it. I'm sitting out the year." The Niners season win total does not budge. The spread for the Seattle game does not budge.
Yeah,
Shout out Don Budge, the great tennis player. Right now, Niners are favored by 2.5. If Brock Purdy were to sustain some sort of an injury and not be able to play against Seattle, that line moves. And if Brock Purdy's out for the year, that season win total moves probably by two or more wins.
Yep, so at least.
It's not to say Juwan is not a good player, but for this team and this coach especially, all right, you don't have Juwan, and maybe you only have one or two receivers you trust. You're going to see a lot of two tight ends, two running backs. You're going to see a lot of different formations. Shanahan will scheme around his deficiencies.
Yeah, it's really too bad, to be honest with you. I locked in on something Tim said. 49ers were really hoping to just have a nice, happy-go-lucky, chill August.
Yeah.
And they kind of did. Like, this one snuck up on everybody in a certain way because, A, it's not a frontline player. It's not a huge name. It's a big name, but it's not a huge name, number one. And number two, he schnookered everybody. That's my belief. He schnookered everybody. Calf injury. Like, yeah, probably, but not a four-weeker. No. But for a long time now, we've been able to do, Juwan's hurt. Well, Juwan's not hurt. My opinion.
Yeah, we don't really know.
I don't know. We don't know. But I don't believe that Juwan would not be out there if a contract showed up on his doorstep tomorrow morning. I think he would be out there.
And he is out there, but he's on the side
right, putting
in work. So if the Niners are seeing this, and that might have been a question for yesterday, you know, how much work is Juwan putting in on the side? Is he improving his workload? Is it a ramp up? Are we maintaining? What's the nature of Juwan Jennings' activity as he's working on the side? You know, is he close to a return to actual practice, 11-on-11, or is it a holding pattern? Where are we with the Juwan Jennings return to play?
If Juwan was actually hurt, they wouldn't have sounded like they sounded yesterday.
Right.
They wouldn't have been frustrated.
Like if he had Brandon Ayuk's injury, for example.
He's just hurt. They're not mad at Jacob Cowling.
They're not mad at Brandon Ayuk.
They're a little bit mad at Isaac Grando, but like, you know what I mean?
Right.
They're not mad at Jordan Watkins. He's got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah.
They're not mad at him. They're mad at Juwan Jennings. So stop telling us he's hurt. You're not hurt. Like, that's why this whole thing snuck up on us. But it didn't sneak up on them. They're very aware of how this has gone. They're very frustrated. This has been going on since well before camp, based on what we know now. And what we've heard. And on some level, there's like a hidden compliment to the coaching staff and the team that's tucked in there. You know, people do want to know, why does this keep happening to the Niners? Is it because the Niners are stubborn and they always want to win the deal? Maybe that's part of it. I give you another reason, though. A lot of players produce on the 49ers. Like, I bet Mike Shanahan – has had a voice in the room here with Kyle on this. Because for years, and I know the money and all that with the structure was totally different when Mike was coaching, but for years, you'd have another running back come in, go for 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 yards, and I'm sure that that player would go to the Broncos or Washington or whatever and be like, I'm gonna need a big raise. And Mike would be like, dude, you realize that your backup could do this too, and his backup could do this too. Wasn't Mike Shanahan the one who traded Clinton Portis for Champ Bailey? Wasn't that the trade? Clinton Portis was a master. He was a monster. And
Mike back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons.
Mike's like, replaceable, dog. You want money? Get out of here.
You know who went for 1,240 the next year?
Who?
Reuben Jones.
There you go.
Then Mike Anderson goes for 1,000. Then Tatum Bell. Then Selvin Young, Peyton Hillis, and then a couple of No'Shawn Morenos, Willis McGahee. No'Shawn again, so, and I know all these weren't Shanahan, but it speaks to what you're talking about.
No doubt.
You know, and if you go to the Niners, it's Breida, Jeff Wilson Jr., Raheem Mostert, Jordan Mason, and, you know, Kyle probably feels similarly with the wide receiver position to a point.
To a point.
Which is why you drafted Ricky Pearsall in the first round.
No doubt. And I'm not taking anything away from the individuals. It's very hard, so it seems, to produce in the NFL. I'm very, very impressed. There's no doubt about it. So they get credit for it. The same way I've given credit to Brock Purdy inside the Kyle Shanahan system. But there's no doubt that it helps the numbers. There's no doubt that he's a very good offensive coach. There's no doubt that whoever you are in this system, you're probably a little bit less somewhere else, which leads to a couple of things. You want money based off of those numbers. As the Niners, they're sitting there going, okay, but that doesn't really compute. It doesn't really work because, A, you're probably replaceable, and, B, the rest of the league knows this too, so we can't trade you for the stats that you got here because they know that you won't do that there.
Right.
Like, what's the list? You just mentioned a bunch of them. Raheem Mostert, what did he do when he left? Like, you know, productive.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He can play. He's not, you know, no big seasons. Jeff Wilson, like, all these people, Breida, like, they had monster years, or games at least, for a stretch with the 49ers. I didn't see them do that very much anywhere else. So that's why the Niners are like, why would we pay a premium for that? We can probably get this somewhere else, or at least a reasonable facsimile of it.
That's right. And 8 years, right, Shanahan's been here, starting in 2017, which was the third and final year that Carlos Hyde led the team in rushing. And the next year it was Breida, then Mostert, then Wilson, Elijah Mitchell in 2021, couple of McCaffreys and Jordan Mason. And in that run, only one time did a running back get more than 1,000 yards, and that was McCaffrey in 2023. Mm-hmm. So even when you had great rushing teams, you were going straight committee with Breida and Wilson and Mostert, and then Elijah Mitchell with a sprinkle in, and Jordan Mason last year.
Coleman.
Exactly.
Sure.
All the rest of it. So that's Kyle's mentality with the running back, and it kind of applies to the receivers as well, which makes it even more stunning to me that they paid Brandon Ayuk that much money.
It's a great point.
When they did, because that was like this, but at a much higher tax bracket, and the Niners, in my opinion, they caved.
It's a really good point, because I really, like, that year, I loved Brandon Ayuk. Like, I thought he was fantastic, and I do think he's a very, very talented player. But how could you not tuck into the conversation at least a couple million bucks for the circumstances? And I get it. No player or agent wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody gets into negotiations like, I put up 1,300 yards last year. And the team's like, well, yeah, partially because of us, partially because you're also with a good quarterback who really started to sling it, like, partially because of this, that. No one wants to hear it. Too bad. I put up the numbers and,
right. And pay Brandon, me off these numbers.
Well, and Brandon did have supposedly other teams who were ready to pay him. That's probably the answer to your question.
Yeah.
Like, why did the Niners cave on Brandon? Because the market suggested that they should. There were other teams willing to pay that money. And then that's when it becomes impossible to tell the player, we're not going to pay you that. Because they're like, well, the Steelers will, and the Patriots will. So if you won't, then get me there. And they almost did.
And they probably should have.
And they should have.
Forget the injury part of it, because you'll never know if that's going to happen. But now you're paying a guy average $30 million a year. He's top 10 in average annual value. And, you know, because of that, you kind of had to get rid of Debo. And now you're in a similar spot with Juwan, where you don't want to give him extra money.
Having a good chat on the Niners and Juwan Jennings on 95.7 The Game, which is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Yeah, that's probably the leverage of a Bosa, of an Ayuk. And that's why, gosh, another interesting thing from Kawakami when we're like, dude, Drew Rosenhaus misplayed this. And Tim is very firmly believes this is not being driven by the agent. He thinks this is being driven by Juwan. And if that's the case, then I think what we're talking about here is somebody who probably got a little bit too far into his feelings about how last year went. By the way, here's that commentary from Tim.
I don't know that this is a Drew Rosenhaus driven thing. You know, he's the agent. He's had a good relationship with the 49ers. You know, he understands that his client probably has earned more money, so he's asking for it. I don't know that we haven't heard this rattling from him, except for that one shot in the ESPN that he wants a new deal or he'll ask to be traded. They've asked to be traded. But beyond that, we haven't heard this stuff that you usually hear with Drew. So I think this is more Juwan, if you ask me, and that's okay. It's his right. It's his right to play it out as hard as he can. So I don't know that it's Drew Rosenhaus thinking this. I think it's Juwan Jennings saying, I'm a $25 million a year player. Probably, you know, he was last year. Will he be in the future? Do the 49ers have to pay for last year? No, but you get some of the logic there, and they're going to desperately need a receiver while Ayuk is coming back, while DeMarcus Robinson is suspended, you know, or it's a bet against Ricky Pearsall in Juwan's mind. If you ask me, knowing how Drew has operated and knowing, you know, he was Frank Gore's agent. 49ers have a really good, I should say really good, have a solid relationship with Drew Rosenhaus. They really haven't gone to the wire with him. I don't know that it's him. I think this is a player-driven situation, and it might be up to the player to figure out how he gets back in, because you're right. He does not win by not getting game checks. He does not make himself a better free agent at the end of the season by missing games or by being a malcontent or by skipping practice.
Can I play a game with you?
Sure, sure.
Coming up next, okay? Don't look.
Oh, boy.
No, don't look, because he just used the words Juwan Jennings and $25 million a year. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 receivers in the National Football League.
Making that average?
To make $25 million a year.
Okay.
Or more. I want to see how many of them you can name.
Man,
all
right.
And then we'll use that to juxtapose it up against Juwan. You tell me if Juwan belongs on the list.
Yeah.
Okay? Just to give everybody an idea of what that is, $25 million a year in the NFL.
So you're asking me, do you want to play a game? And the answer is yes. Anyone? Grandy?
If it were tomorrow, I'd be cracking up.
Fair. But I got four from Grandy.
I give you three.
Thank you.
It was solid.
I'll take it. A four from Grandy is like an eight from anyone else.
That's the point.
I liked it.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Lucas, for chiming in. We're sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. This Labor Day weekend, be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate. Visit BayAreaOilChange.com. It's Willard and Dibs.
I almost said a bad word there.
Oh, no. What happened here?
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Do you want to play a game? Is that what you said to me?
Yeah, is that what you said to me? Is that what you came out of your mouth? Do you want to play a game? I do, yeah. I do.
I do, but...
Did he
ask? I do.
Did he ask for $25 million a year? I mean, maybe not, but Tim seems very confident he asked for north of 20.
Yeah.
Now, we could go all the way down that list, and that would add another 10 receivers or so on the list. That feels like a little bit of a hefty game.
Right.
All right. We'll give you, this is going to be hard. So we'll give you, four strikes. Not three strikes, four strikes.
Man, that would make a baseball game even longer.
Yeah, four strikes. Okay? But here's the deal. There are 14 receivers that by AAV are making $25 million or more per year right now in the NFL. With four strikes, Dan Dibley, can you name them?
Probably not.
Okay.
But I'll give it a shot.
Hang on, let me get a pen.
Yeah, and so there's 14 of them making at least $25 million. Let me just start with the heavy hitters and go with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase.
By the way, just to slow it down so that we can get, like, I'll give you the amount once you...
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Justin is at 35.
All right.
Okay, and then you said Chase, who is at 40.25. All right?
Okay.
So those are both correct.
I think that Terry McLaurin just got a new deal. He's got to be up there.
Terry McLaurin is a ding. He's at $29 million. Again, this is 25 or more. 14 receivers, you're 3 for 3.
Brandon Ayuk, we know that he got 30.
Brandon Ayuk is at 30. That is correct. That's 4.
Yeah. The Philly guys are both up there. Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
Ding and ding. Double ding.
Double ding.
A.J. Brown, 32, and Devontae Smith is right on the number at 25.
Okay.
So you are 1, 2, you are 6 in. 6 for 6.
Okay.
8 to go. 4 strikes.
Man, it gets tough because...
Well, there's one that's literally already been discussed on this show today that's like screaming obvious.
Screaming obvious.
Screaming obvious.
Oh, it's CeeDee Lamb.
Thank you very much. Okay, right, CeeDee Lamb, 34.
We discussed him.
Yeah, 34. All right, you're halfway home.
Okay.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, we're halfway there. Who got recent deals?
Glad you got that.
Nico Collins. Is he on the list? He makes a lot of money.
Nico Collins, sorry, 24.5.
Oh, crap.
First player not on the list. Strike one.
Boy.
It's a good guess, though.
Nico really
deserves it. No, he deserves it. He's sure. One of the best 6 or 7 out there.
I know that Equanimeous' brother got a deal, I think, last year. We'll go with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, absolutely. 30.02 is his number.
Okay.
So Amon-Ra is a correct answer.
How about Tyreek Hill? He got a deal.
Tyreek Hill, $30 million. Yes.
Davante Adams, I think, is a guy who makes a ton of money, even though he almost got killed.
Davante Adams, $22 million, strike two. Very good receiver, though. Very good.
Boy.
High level. Plays for the Rams.
Did I guess the other Bengal yet, T. Higgins?
You did not. Would you like to?
T. Higgins.
That is correct.
Higgins,
T. Higgins, $28.75 million. You are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in. There are 4 more to go.
4 to go.
But you are 2 strikes in.
Yeah.
2 more strikes, and we are going to give the Grandy and Lucas family a chance to steal.
Ooh, DK Metcalf. He's on a new team. He got a new deal.
Yes, DK Metcalf.
Don't give me a chance. I'm looking at the list.
Okay. 32
you win everything.
32.999. DK Metcalf, actually 4th highest in the league, so that is also correct. 3 more.
Oh, man.
3 more players are on this list.
Okay. Michael Pittman Jr.
Michael
he got a big contract.
Pittman Jr. Strike 3, $23.33 million for Michael Pittman. And ooh, now you're Dormy.
Fresh money,
and you're out, but there are only 3 more on the list.
Can I give him a hint?
Can you get... Well, sure. I'm feeling nice today. It's Thursday. What's up?
Yep. Best day of the week.
2 of the remaining 3 play in the AFC East.
Ooh.
That's good. That's a good hint. I like that. That's a good
hint.
That's
a great hint.
That's a good hint. All right.
AFC East. That would be Buffalo. Oh, Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Coming in at 32.5. $1 million. So that is correct. 2 more to go.
2 to go.
Tension could be cut with a knife.
I know. I can't even handle it. I already said Tyreek Hill, and they're in the East. Jalen Waddle?
Jalen Waddle. Yes,
okay.
Indeed. Jalen Waddle is at $28.25 million. So It comes down to one of the more dramatic moments in the history of this show. There is player left on this list. You either get him and you win, or you don't and you lose. And you also know that he's not in the AFC East.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
That's your
clue. More hints allowed. Sorry, Dave.
I thought you could be there for me, Grandy. You know, I'm just trying to think about who got the fresh money. And 25's a lot. Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs!
No!
Oh, I'm so sorry. Stephon Diggs makes $21.6 million. And so, no, Stephon Diggs is not the correct answer. All right, what if we...
Mike Evans?
No, it is not. It's not. You want to keep firing away?
I mean...
Strike five?
I don't know. Give me a clue.
He catches passes from somebody who's not been doing it very long in the league.
Oh, God. I mean...
Lucas is a big fan.
DJ Moore?
DJ Moore!
I had him last year.
Very good.
God, so frustrating. Like
DJ Moore is the correct answer.
Turns out I had a lot of these guys.
Yeah, $27.5 million for DJ Moore.
Man, so if you want to play Juwan or that guy?
Do you want more money?
Do you want that player or do you want Juwan?
Well, again, so by the way, rounding out the rest, because you guessed a lot of them, they were your misses. For people who make not 25, but at least 20, the list that makes between 20 and 25 is Nico Collins, Deebo Samuel, by the way.
Deebo.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Michael Pittman, Cortland Sutton, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs, and the aforementioned Mike Evans. That's your list of NFL receivers who make $20 million. I love rooting for this guy. Last year was a ton of fun. He blocks downfield. His attitude is a team guy. I could not be a bigger fan of the way he goes about his business.
Here comes the big old butt.
He ain't one of those dudes. He ain't one of those dudes.
Pro Football Focus had him as the 14th best receiver overall last year in the NFL.
Last year, yeah.
So if you're Juwan and you're looking at your numbers and things like PFF, you're saying, yeah, I belong in that class. And, you know, the 49ers and probably other teams are saying, nah, I don't know if we'd put you in that class.
Yeah.
It's just too bad for Juwan because I'm with you. Love watching him play. His value to the Niners is very high
because of what
he brings and the way he goes about it. But he's in a tight spot where you got fresh money last year, and now you come back for more fresh money. It just doesn't happen that way all the time.
Even if all you wanted was fresh money, that's one thing. If you want something long-term over $20 million, you're essentially telling the 49ers, as even TK said, like, what are we telling Colton McKivitz next year? And I know it's way too early to say this, but I'm such a big fan of his. Like, what are you saying? What are you saying to Ricky Pearsall in a couple of years? If Juwan is still on, because Brandon, and I don't know how it's all going to go, but like, how much money are you wrapping up in that room? Like, we always talk about how hard it is to pay two of those guys, right? Yeah, Deebo and Brandon, they got rid of Deebo. The Eagles are pulling it off, right? They've got Devontae and AJ, but are you going to pay three?
Oh, no way.
Three players up in that neighborhood.
And Cincinnati's got two up in that neighborhood, and they stink.
And they're nuts.
Right.
They're nuts.
And their quarterback is even higher on the list than those two guys.
Yeah, and their defense does not stop people. So
because they're all volunteers, like a volunteer fire department. None of those guys actually get paid.
It is crazy, actually. T. Higgins is because Ja'Marr Chase is number one. He's the number one receiver in terms of money in the league. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. T is 11. You get the number 1 and number 11 on the same team.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Gets pricey.
That's a lot of cash.
No doubt.
What are you doing, Grandy? What's happening?
We're going to hear the breaking news when Micah Parsons was traded. Okay. You guys were on with Steiny during the crossover. Unfortunately, you had to step out early today.
That's a tough break.
Of all the days, right?
And then we'll hear your guys' conversation with Kawakami coming up after that.
Okay. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's payday, and we're heading into a three-day weekend.
It's big. So we'll talk to you then. For Dibs, for Candy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.